bestows upon you the boon of time and plenty. As it arises, so it must also subside. A short and rapid illness will do one of two things. It will quench or be quenched. And what difference does it make whether it is not or I am not? In either case, there is an end of pain. This, too, will help. To turn the mind aside to thoughts of other things and thus to depart from pain. Call to mind what honorable or brave deeds you have done. Consider the good side of your own life. Run over in your memory those things which you have particularly admired. Then think of all the brave men who have conquered pain. Of him who continued to read his book, as he allowed the cutting out of varicose veins. Of him who did not cease to smile, though that very smile so enraged his torturers that they tried upon him every instrument of their cruelty. If pain can be conquered by a smile, will it not be conquered by reason? You may tell me now of whatever you like, of colds, bad coughing spells that bring up parts of our entrails, fever that parches our very vitals, thirst, limbs so twisted that the joints protrude in different directions. Yet, worse than these are the stake, the rack, the red-hot plates, the instrument that reopens wounds while the wounds themselves are still swollen and that drives their imprint still deeper. Nevertheless, there have been men who have not uttered a moan amid these tortures. "More yet," says the torturer, but the victim has not begged for release. "More yet," he says again, but no answer has come. "More yet," the victim has smiled, and heartily too. Can you not bring yourself, after an example like this, to make a mock at pain? "But," you object, "my illness does not allow me to be doing anything. It has withdrawn me from all my duties." It is your body that is hampered by ill health, and not your soul as well. It is for this reason that it clogs the feet of the runner and will hinder the handiwork of the cobbler or the artisan. But if your soul be habitually in practice, you will plead and teach, listen and learn, investigate and meditate. What more is necessary? Do you think that you are doing nothing if you possess self-control in your illness? You will be showing that a disease can be overcome, or at any rate endured. There is, I assure you, a place for virtue even upon a bed of sickness. It is not only the sword and the battle line that prove the soul alert and unconquered by fear. A man can display bravery even when wrapped in his bedclothes. You have something to do. Wrestle bravely with disease. If it shall compel you to nothing, beguile you to nothing, it is a notable example that you display. Oh, what ample matter were there for renown if we could have spectators of our sickness. Be your own spectator. Seek your own applause. Again, there are two kinds of pleasures. Disease checks the pleasures of the body, but does not do away with them. Nay, if the truth is to be considered, it serves to excite them. For the thirstier a man is, the more he enjoys a drink. The hungrier he is, the more pleasure he takes in food. Whatever falls to one's lot after a period of abstinence is welcomed with greater zest. The other kind, however, the pleasures of the mind, which are higher and less uncertain, no physician can refuse to the sick man. Whoever seeks these, and knows well what they are, scorns all the blandishments of the senses. Men say, "Poor sick fellow!" But why? Is it because he does not mix snow with his wine, or because he does not revive the chill of his drink, mixed as it is in a good-sized bowl, by chipping ice into it? Or because he does not have Lucrine oysters, opened fresh at his table? Or because there is no din of cooks about his dining hall, as they bring in their very cooking apparatus along with their viands? For luxury has already devised this fashion, of having the kitchen accompany the dinner, so that the food may not grow lukewarm, or fail to be hot enough for a palate which has already become hardened. Poor sick fellow! He will eat as much as he can digest. There will be no boar lying before his eyes, banished from the table as if it were a common meat. And on his sideboard there will be heaped together no breast meat of birds, because it sickens him to see birds served whole. But what evil has been done to you? You will dine like a sick man, nay, sometimes like a sound man. All these things, however, can be easily endured, gruel, warm water, and anything else that seems insupportable to a fastidious man, to one who is wallowing in luxury, sick in soul, rather than in body, if only we cease to shudder at death. And we shall cease, if once we have gained a knowledge of the limits of good and evil. Then, and then only, life will not weary us, neither will death make us afraid. For surfeit of self can never seize upon a life that surveys all the things which are manifold, great, divine. Only idle leisure is wont to make men hate their lives. To one who roams through the universe, the truth can never pall. It will be the untruths that will cloy. And on the other hand, if death comes near with its summons, even though it be untimely in its arrival, though it cut one off in one's prime, a man has had a taste of all that the long